Welcome to The Crossing, the sermon podcast from Washington National Cathedral. We're so glad you're with us, and we hope this week's episode gives you comfort and inspiration. Be sure to check out our other Crossing podcast, Tower Talks, where you can find untold stories from cathedral docents, volunteers, staff, and artists who have each helped make the cathedral into the national treasure we all love. And now, enjoy this week's sermon.
Please pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our collective hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If I were to ask you to name your five favorite biblical themes, what would they be? What are some of the spiritual threads and themes in the Bible that have the most meaning for you, that you cherish, and they help you get through every day? If I were to guess, many of you would probably have love on the list. Love is good. We all want to be loved. And of course, we remember from scriptures like those in Ephesians, the whole reference to the sort of love that surpasses all understanding. Perhaps in these complicated and difficult days, comfort might be on your list. As we look across the divisions in our own country, and then the horrific and heartbreaking wars across the globe, in Ukraine, in the Holy Land, and other places around the globe, I certainly look for comfort in the scriptures. And as we are about to go into the season of Advent, of course, I remember that part of Handel's Messiah taken from the prophet Isaiah, "Comfort ye my people." Maybe strength. Strength not just for today, but for tomorrow. And we remember Psalm 46, and the psalmist reminding us that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. For some, maybe it's justice. And we recall the prophet Amos, who speaks of letting justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. What are your five? Just out of curiosity, did anyone have judgment on your list? For those of you worshiping online, the cathedral is full. I did not see a hand go up. It's ironic, isn't it, that we who are not too keen about being judged are quick to judge. Is that not true? I remember as a child, one of the very first scriptures that I had memorized was from the 7th chapter of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. "Judge not, lest ye be judged." Now, let's just say that Episcopalians in that day weren't necessarily known for memorizing Bible verses. The fact that that one still sticks with me from the time I was a child probably has something to say about what my parents felt I needed. "Judge not, lest ye be judged." You heard the gospel lesson. It depicts Jesus as the judge at the end of the age. And Jesus is teaching the disciples and answering their question from the previous chapter in the Gospel of Matthew, when is the end of time? And essentially, what will it be like? And Jesus responds. That whole thing about the sheep and the goats and the eternal fire and eternal punishment. This was a gospel lesson that was appointed to me when I was a fairly newly minted priest. And I thought, oh my gosh, what do you do with this? The whole sheep and goats and judgment and eternal fire and eternal punishment. Where's the hope in that? And so I did what I often did in those days when I was turning myself into a theological pretzel and still on Saturday didn't have a sermon. I called my mother. My mother was incredibly wise and wickedly funny. So it was always a good conversation, regardless of where it went. I said, Mother, what am I going to do? I mean, I got to stand up and preach. And it talks about final judgment and sheep and goats and fire and punishment. There was a long pause. And she said, well, Jan, sometimes we're sheep and sometimes we're goats. Truer words were never said. My friends, sometimes we're sheep and sometimes we're goats. The great good news in this gospel lesson is that it's Jesus sitting on the throne and not you or me. Look at what Jesus lifts up. That our calling, if we are to follow him, is to be focused outwardly, not focused on ourselves. Jesus describes family very broadly, that the kingdom of God includes all. And particular attention to the least, the lost, and the last. And Jesus lifts up what he did in his own ministry, tending to the hungry, to the thirsty, to the sick, to the stranger, to the naked, to those imprisoned. So too, that is our call as followers of Christ. Jesus says, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. That's it. That we are, as followers of Christ, to do that for the least, the lost, and the last. Life is messy sometimes, and I was reminded when I was preparing for this sermon of a life that touched me very deeply, and I think helps to underscore the point I'm trying to make. Many years ago, my husband, John, and I participated in a program called the Disciple Bible Study. It was a 9-month Bible study with a small group, and we were in that study with members of Foundry United Methodist Church, where my husband was very involved before we married. And suffice it to say that when you've done Bible study with a small group for 9 months, you are tight. You know a lot about one another. And one of our members told the group that she'd become engaged and she was going to be married. And it meant that she was going to move away from Washington. We were so excited for her. She was so happy. And she asked John and me if we would meet with her because she had a favor to ask and said, of course. And when we met, she told us something she had not shared before. Her brother Randy was homeless, had been for some time. She told us a little bit about his story, that he had hit a really rough patch in his life. He was depressed. He just couldn't handle life anymore in the way that he was trying to live it. He abandoned and left his wife and children, just left, and ended up living on the streets. And she asked if we would keep an eye on him, which of course we were happy to do. As fate would have it, he lived on the street two blocks from John's office, so it wasn't a big ask. And as it turned out, Randy was really friendly. He was a great big man. No one would mess with that man on the street. And it turned out he had a really big heart, too. People all in the neighborhood around 20th and M all knew Randy. He was sort of the person who always seemed to have some money available for a fellow street person who needed just enough for a bus fare to go home or to go seeking a better life. He always seemed to have enough time to listen to someone with a problem who just needed a listening ear. Didn't matter if you worked in a shop or if you were one of those K Street lawyers and people in multi-thousand dollar suits. Randy was friend to all. He was easy to have as a friend. He never asked for anything. He was just there, tending the sheep who crossed his path. And then one day we learned that he died. Turned out he had not just a big heart metaphorically, but an enlarged heart, and it took his life. And people came together and said, well, we have to have some sort of gathering to remember this man. And so arrangements were made, and we had a gathering at Foundry Methodist Church. And people, all kinds of people came, all sorts and conditions. And people started to share their own story of their own interactions with Randy. What a friend he'd been, how generous he'd been, what a compassionate person he was, and all those things were true. And then his estranged wife and children spoke, and they told a very different story, how he had abandoned them in the hurt and the pain that they had suffered as a consequence. All the ball games and birthdays he had missed. And that too was true. So was he a sheep or was he a goat? Life is messy. Sometimes we're sheep and sometimes we're goats. But the Jesus we follow, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is a different kind of king. It's not a king who judges by royal fiat, but by relationship. This is not a capricious king, but a compassionate one, one who comes alongside us, Emmanuel, God with us. Brian Stevenson, a public interest lawyer who's dedicated his life to serving the poor, the incarcerated, and the condemned, said that each of us is more than the worst thing we've ever done. Each of us is more than the worst thing we've ever done. My brothers and sisters, life is messy. And part of our call is to be there for one another in those messy times. We're about to start a new church year next Sunday, hold fast to these things that Jesus has taught us, and let Jesus be the judge. I leave you with words of benediction that our Dean Randy Hollerith often offers us, and they're from the Gospel of Luke. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. For the measure you give will be the measure you receive. Amen.